You listen closely now, your ears be open. To know it is not enough. To say it or memorize it is not enough. Calvary, listen, it has to be believed now, right this minute.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day and welcome. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill continues his study of the Epistle of James with part two of the message, Life is a Trial. Now, here's Pastor Bill.
Everybody on earth is a slave. Let me explain. Everybody on earth has a master. Amen? You're either in Adam, and that's the old man, and you're a slave. I guarantee it. Or you are in Christ, and in Christ, that's the new man. Amen? In other words, that is the new creation, if you will, the new birth. See, Jesus doesn't make slaves. Jesus frees the slaves. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things passed away, all things become new. And you know what's amazing is that we're living in a time when people, some people, and it kills me, it hurts me, we're living in a time when people, they want to change their nature, or they're trying to change who they are. In other words, from a boy to a girl, whatever that means, here is true change. And they need to know that because Satan is blinding the minds of so many people today. But if you want true change, number one, you can change nature. And not only that, you can change masters. How? The new birth. Jesus said you must be born again. Amen? Oh, that's all it takes. You have to be born again. Jesus said to the Jews, he said in John 8:31, he said to the Jews who believed, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And here comes my life verse, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the Jews answered Jesus, hey, listen, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been a slave to anyone. That was a joke. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin, meaning an habitual life forever sin, an unbeliever, is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Listen, do you know why being a bondservant of Jesus is so wonderful? Well, if you've been purchased by Jesus and Jesus lives in you, and he has washed away your sins by the blood, and that you're full of the Holy Spirit, that means he owns us. Amen? Now, let me ask you a question. Is a master responsible for the one he owns? I'm not talking about filth. I'm talking about Jesus. Amen? Yeah, I'm not. Listen, that means that if so, he has to take care of my needs. But he also tells me what my duties are. Amen? Yeah, that's pretty good. So what does the Lord tell us to do? And remember Matthew chapter 6, verse 25? Jesus said this, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your what? About your life. Don't be worried, Jesus said. The word worried means to be torn apart. Don't be torn apart with what you are consumed about all the time, your life. He didn't say not plan or not care. He said, just don't be torn apart with your life. And he says here, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. What about your body? What you're going to put on? Is life not more than food? Food more than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, reap, gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Listen, I want you to just think about something. Think about all the birds from creation to this very moment that are out there. All that time. And God fed every one of them. Do you understand? If he fed all of those birds, did we have anything to worry about? Do we? No, not at all. So here's the problem. See, if we are really a bond servant, a doulos to Jesus, now listen to me, we need to stop taking over his responsibilities. Oh, I got to make it happen. No. He's going to take care of you. Oh, but no. Jesus said, shut up. Go look at the birds. Come on. You know what I mean? Go look at the birds. Go look at the flowers. They're not worried. They're all going to make it. And that's what we need to do as well. Now, let's go to the second part of James in verse 1. Now he says, to whom it's written, he says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. That means scattered like seed among the nations. And then he uses the word greetings, but that word is actually rejoice, which is a play on words to go into the next verse, but we're not there yet. So James is not writing to Jews all over the world, loved one. He is writing to a specific group of Jews that have been scattered all over the world, and those are the Jews that have believed that Jesus Christ is their Lord. And the reason that they were scattered was a result of persecution, okay? And so they were forced to flee Jerusalem. Let me give you the scriptures. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death, meaning the first martyr of the church, Stephen. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church. Now that was also anti-Semitism with Rome as well, and which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered, there's that word again, throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Now they remained at Jerusalem at the church. Now, and then in Acts 11, 19, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word of God, but to no one, to the Jews only. Remember that the church was primarily Jewish then, okay? Now, so scattered among all the nations and the hardship they're enduring. Now look what he says in verse 2. He says, my brethren, he includes himself. He says, my brethren, count it all what? Joy when you fall into various trials. What a word for 2024. Amen? Let's just count it. He said, just count it all joy. Look what James does. He blows me away. He doesn't say, oh man, I know you guys are, I love you, I miss you. You're scattered all over the different nations and different languages and different types of people. I know that they don't even like you where they are. I know that you're suffering horrible, horrible times. And man, I am praying with you. He doesn't say that at all. He is like my drill sergeant. He just barks out a command. He says there in the command, look at it, count it all joy. And I say, why would you command that? And I'll tell you why. Because we don't count it all joy, do we? Whenever we fall into a trial, various trials, what do we try to do? Do we try to get out of that trial? Yeah, we don't count it all joy, and we're immediately out of the will of God. Did you know that? It's amazing, isn't it? So, and you, I mean, some of you are probably going, well, I haven't been a Christian very long, Bill, but I believe that's a wrong translation. That can't be in the Bible. Well, let me give you another one. Phillips. That's a good translation, by the way. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers. Here, you ready for this? Don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. You have that on your refrigerator? Now, I prepared two sermons. I haven't ever done that, to my knowledge. But I struggled for 2 days, even on the way here this morning. And I didn't know which sermon I was going to deliver from James until I arrived at church this morning. Now, I'm going to move now and take what we've just learned. And I want to talk to you because you're going to have trials in this life. And if the Lord tarries, you're going to have trials in 2024. Amen. And we need to really think about that. And it is Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's Thanksgiving 2023. I know that. 36 days till Christmas, 43 days till the new year. And we know that for a Christian, I mean, Thanksgiving, of course, is a holiday. But Thanksgiving to the believer is much more, isn't it? It's a lifestyle, or it should be the lifestyle of a Christian, giving thanks unto the Lord. Amen? Now, you know, here we are, and you think about Thanksgiving, and maybe we've lost the meaning of it because, you know, our first president, George Washington, he was the one who actually got it all started. You know, in November 26, 1789, it was the first nationwide Thanksgiving. And this is what he said, President Washington, as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Isn't that amazing? And prayer to be observed and acknowledged with grateful hearts the many graces given to us of Almighty God. Isn't that your desire to always have a graceful heart, a heart that's graceful? You know what I mean? You know, we're, you know, every day of our life, it's just, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you thanks. We have so much, don't we? Oh, come on. Well, it was really hard getting to church this morning, you know, that brand new truck and you know, four-wheel drive, and my seat's warm, and my steering wheel turned. It gets warm if I get cold. And I mean, we're suffering, aren't we? May I read a prayer to you? We've been the recipients of the choice bounties of heaven. We have been preserved the many years in peace and prosperity. We've grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation on earth has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of the redeeming and the graceful God, too proud to pray to God that has made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before God, to confess our national sins and pray for forgiveness. Do you know who prayed that? That was President Abraham Lincoln. Think about that. In 1863, in his proclamation of a national day of prayer and fasting. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen now, where we're going, it would behoove our nation and it would behoove us to ask forgiveness from God too. Amen. Because that's what needs to take place. Listen, you see what he was saying? He was saying, oh, you think we've done all of this? It would behoove us right now to realize that everything that we have comes from God. I mean, no, everything that we have. We can't think like the world. The source of our strength, the source of our stamina, our happiness, our prosperity, it comes only from God and no one else. Loved one, listen to me now. I'm talking about trials. Jesus said every kingdom, Matthew 12:25, every kingdom, we can say every government divided against itself is brought to desolation. It's ruined. It's destroyed. And every city or every house divided against itself, it's not going to stand. I am not a prophet, and I have never pretended to be that. And what I'm about to tell you, I tell you, it's what I believe. I believe this is what's rotating and moving in my heart. In my prayers and when I'm thinking, and I take my notes and I write these things down. And I believe what I'm about to tell you is true. I believe personally, not asking you to believe it, but me. I believe the great dividing in our country and the great dividing in the church literally began March 13th, 2020, when the global pandemic came about. And I saw the COVID as you did. Oh, the vaccines, the division, and the mask, and the closings, and the wicked, ungodly division that occurred, not only in our nation, but in the church as well. And you know, think about it. One invisible virus, just one, shut down the entire planet. Loved one, how secure is our earth? How secure is our government? Are you listening to me? In one moment, everything can change. Amen? Listen, in one moment, everything that we have held dear can be gone. If you don't believe me, turn on the news and look at Gaza. It's leveled. It's destroyed. A way of life. Listen, see, we think everything is going to be okay. Beloved, and I want everything to be okay. But there is a division. The world is shaking, and it doesn't take much to shake the world that we live in. And then after that, the division continued. January 6th. You know what happened there in 2021, the Capitol riot. You know what I wrote in my journal? I said, January 6th, when I watched that happening, I said, this is the saddest day in my life besides the day of 9/11. It was heartbreaking to see that. A nation that you fought for. Do you understand? Things like that that have occurred. And then February 24, 2022, I remember the morning Russia invaded the Ukraine. The largest attack on a European nation since World War II. And then October 7th of this year came right across the screen on my computer, the bloodbath in that Hamas against Israel. And now there is a war there. And let me say something to you. We're entering into 2024 if the Lord tarries. But, and I'm not into biblical numerology. I don't even go there. Do you understand? I'm into God's word, not numbers. However, I just was curious this morning because I just finished this message this morning. I was curious, what does the number 24 mean? 2024, 24 in Hebrew. What would that mean? Can I read it to you? One person? The number 24 in Hebrew spells out the word kad, or picture, like a picture of water. The number 24 in Hebrew is associated with judgment, severity, but it is also, in another way, associated with unity. Very interesting. We, mankind's compass, fallen mankind's compass, right this minute, they are on a collision course with all of the prophetic unfulfilled truths found in the book of Revelation, loved one. You cannot stop the things that one day that are going to happen. And as we approach, as we move into 2024, you're going to see, yes, Satan, his ongoing destruction of the Jews, he wants them dead. You know that. You've already heard the sermon a couple of weeks ago. But more than that, he is still, his main desire is to keep humanity enslaved. Do you understand? He doesn't want anybody to be free. But listen to me now. As we move into 2024, this is what's really in my heart. I see, and I saw it for me, my eyes turning, just turning away from all false support. Let me say that again. All false support. Government, White House, money, whatever it might be, turning away from that. In my heart, 2024, the true church returns to what? Our only true refuge in this world. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 46:1, and we're going to wrap this up. Like I said, we're all going to have trials. You're going to have trials. You're going to have trials maybe this week. You don't know. They come suddenly, unexpectedly. But look here. You've got to get the true refuge where we're going to return to. It says in verse 1, Psalm 46, God is our what? God is our refuge. God is our strength. Not whoever wins the presidential election next year. Do you understand? He's a very present help in trouble. Now listen, I know that this verse is dear to many people since it was penned all those years ago. And it's a good verse. I love this verse, if you will. And it's been on the lips of believers for generations. And many generations, they, as I'm one of them, they have put it into practice where they have memorized this verse. But here's the deal. You listen closely now. Your ears be open. Listen, to know it is not enough. To say it or memorize it is not enough. Calvary, listen, it has to be believed now. Right this minute. God really is our only refuge. Amen? There's not any other refuge there. In Hebrew means this. It means a shelter from danger, the ultimate place of security and safety. And he says, God is our strength. Listen, that supernatural strength. Is God's strength ever depleted? No, dear God, no. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, Paul said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now listen to me. All of the world's refuges are lies. They're lies. No, all of the world's refuges, they're lies. You can't go there. They're not going to help you. Do you understand? They're all lies. We have only one refuge. And not only that, all other strengths in this world are weaknesses. They're not strong like God. The Bible says in Psalm 62:11, oh, God has spoken once, but He's spoken again twice. And I've heard it, that power belongs to God. God owns power. He is power. He's the source of all power. Amen. Oh, and He is our refuge. He's our strength. Listen, the psalmist said, I've heard it twice. Well, but let's just believe it the first time. Amen. No, he says, God is our refuge, our strength. And here it comes. A very present help when? In trouble, in trials, in persecutions, when we're afraid, when we don't know what to do. In other words, whatever we may face, this scripture just said, our God is sufficient for us. And the world doesn't have that. He's more present than the trouble. He's more present than anything. He is always with us and He is always for us. What are we going to do if things get worse because they're going one day to get worse? What are we going to do? Well, here it comes. Look at it. Therefore, I'm going to fall apart. Oh, that doesn't say that. What does it say? We will not fear. Why? God is our refuge. God is our strength. Amen? Oh, well, wait, it gets worse. Well, what happens? Even though the earth is removed, the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters are roared, they're troubled. Oh, the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. In other words, pause right there. He said, and ponder that, because everything's gone. Everything familiar to you is now gone. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Everything is falling apart. You know what you're going to do? You're going to say, I have only one refuge. I have only one strength. And he's stronger than anyone on this planet. Oh, listen. Listen. You say, well, everything is gone. Well, the Bible says in 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away. Hello. But he who doeth the will of God abideth for ever and ever and ever. See, God says, don't handle your problems. Casting all your care upon me because I care for you. Why are you trying to handle your problems? You're not any good at it. No, come on. You get my age and you realize, I ain't handling anything anymore. You know, people come for me for counseling. I say, just go to God. No, we will not fear any trouble. Why? Well, look at verse 10. Oh, I love this. Here's the verse. Be still, Bill. Isn't that a great verse? Of course, I added my name. Be still and what? And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts, or the Lord of armies, is with us. That's present tense, right this minute. The God of Jacob, our refuge. That's present tense. Listen, you know what the word be still actually means in Hebrew? It means take your hands off of it. You see, you think you could do something, but you can't. This is take your hands off of it. Oh, but Bill, I'm a hands-on person. I got to be in control. I'm a control freak. Well, you're in trouble. You see, we can pass out and hand out bread, but we can't multiply it. God can. Now listen to me. What is he saying? He says, get out of my way. Just get out of my way. I have you. I have you engraved on the palm of my hand. He said, just get out of my way. Remove your hands and let me take care of it. Be still and know that I am God. What a word for 2024. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. You said, well, this was supposed to be a Thanksgiving message. Well, let me give you the scripture. We're going home. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. That means everybody. Amen. Oh, here it comes. Serve the Lord with gladness, not sadness. Huh? Serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, come to his presence before it was singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us. We not ourselves. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Amen. We're just running around grazing. Hey, praise God. That's what we're going to do Thanksgiving is graze. You know, he says, enter into his gates with what? I told you it was the Thanksgiving sermon. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Here it comes. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. Why? The Lord. He is good. God is good. That's why you hear me say God is good before every service, and we close with God is good. Why? God doeth good. Continually he doeth good. His mercy is everlasting. And now his truth endures to all generations, from Rebecca and me and all the family, from my home to yours. I pray you have a Christ-centered Thanksgiving.
Be encouraged today, knowing that no matter what trials we face, God is working for us. We don't deny the difficulties of trials, but we learn to see beyond the difficulties to the good results that might come through trials. The pastor's study continues tomorrow, and we'll look for you again. Thanks for listening today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.